Well, welcome graduates, family, PI faculty, fellows, guests, and everybody that's watching online. Welcome to the Perimeter Institute for Theoretical Physics. Welcome and thank you for coming and sharing in the celebration of these students and their accomplishments today. My name is James Forrest, and I am the incoming director of academic programs here at Perimeter. And before I get on, I'll share a little secret with you. I'm not a theorist. Don't tell Neil. And my colleagues ask me, like, why did you do this? Why would you do this? You're not a theorist. And the answer is really simple. PI is a really amazing place to be. And there are really two reasons, at least for me, why this is. First, you know, when you're here, there's this kind of relentless pursuit to find answers to the simplest questions you can ask about nature. And it doesn't really matter what kind of physicist you are. That's very alluring. I mean, that's very exciting. Second, and I think even more importantly, is the energy at PI. It's just an amazing place. And part of that is because you have all this flow through of people. You never know who you're going to run into or who you're going to see, who's going to be visiting. And the other reason is that it just feels so young here. And there's just so many young people, and you have unbridled enthusiasm, optimism, and a willingness to question what maybe everybody else considers to be well-known. And between postdocs, PhD students, and this group here in the first two rows, the students in Perimeter Scholars International, I mean, this breathes new life into PI every year. And so for the people that are guests, I'll tell you a little bit what is this Perimeter Scholars International, or PSI, like we call it. Physicists are very good at coming up with imaginative and exciting names for things. Well, it depends on who you ask, but it's designed to be an exciting, comprehensive, and challenging introduction to the world of theoretical physics. I always call it like boot camp. It's boot camp for theoretical physics. It's a unique partnership between the Perimeter Institute and the University of Waterloo. And in completing the requirements for the PSI certificate that they received today, they also fulfill requirements to get a coursework master's degree from the University of Waterloo, which of course is a separate ceremony in October. You can go and have even more fun. Students come here from all over the world. They spend 10 months taking courses in a broad range of theoretical physics topics, and they get a chance to work with really some of the best minds in theoretical physics. They eat, breathe, and sleep physics for almost a year. In the end, they're exhausted, and I'm sure they'll tell you just how exhausted they are. Thankfully, there's lots of free coffee to keep them awake. But they're ready to take on new challenges, and today we're here to acknowledge the completion of this unique and difficult program for these students. And since this is not a typical graduate program, I think we should also not have a typical celebration, or maybe we could call it a celebration. Do you like that? No, I didn't think you'd like it. It's a tough crowd. It says here they wouldn't like this joke. But this day is all about the students, and what we hope to do is, rather than have a kind of a boring type of graduation with a bunch of old people talking, I'm not going to go there. Most of this day is about you. It's about the students. And so, you know, we'd like to do things a little bit different than maybe graduation ceremonies you'd have gone to when you're an undergrad or other friends. And so, you know, I don't want you to feel you have to wait until everybody comes by before you applaud. If you want to applaud for your friends, for your family, do so right in the middle. If you want to come up and take pictures of your friends as they're receiving their certificate, do it. We'll wait. Okay, we have a lot of time. It's fine. Before we get to the presentation of the PSI certificates, there's some other very special things we have to do. For the first thing, I want to introduce the director of the Perimeter Institute, Neil Turok, for a special presentation.
All right. Thanks very much, Jamie, and just to echo what he says. Welcome to everybody to this special day. Welcome especially to our most important people, the students. Congratulations on surviving your year at Perimeter. And welcome to all the family and friends who've managed to make it here. It's my very special pleasure and privilege to thank John Berlinski, the outgoing PSI director, and he really is outgoing. and he's going out to Santa Barbara, where I think he'll continue to be outgoing as deputy director of the Kavli Institute of Theoretical Physics. And we're delighted that the Kavli Institute are recruiting our staff away from us. Clearly, they want to follow our example, and you know, they may try, but they won't quite succeed. But John will share some of our secrets with them, I'm sure. John, the story of my interaction with John begins with a telephone call in 2008. I had just arrived as director of Perimeter, and I very quickly saw that one of the big weaknesses of the Institute was not having its own graduate program. And so the students at that time were all registered with the universities and did all their preparatory studies at the universities. And then sort of were here on a more informal basis. But I realized that Perimeter, with its freedom, with its resources, had an opportunity to start a very special graduate program. And as in everything, I wanted to start immediately. And so I asked around, you'll verify that. Time is short, let's face it. So I asked around and said, who could we possibly recruit to launch and run a spectacular graduate program? And the same name came up again and again in many conversations, John Berlinski, who has a huge reputation in Canada for many things. I mean, if you look at his CV, you'll see that he's worked in many places, from Amsterdam to Vancouver to being director of a material science institute, and then he was president of the faculty association at McMaster. In fact, just before during the beginning of PSI. So this was somebody with an incredible reputation, with experience, and I think above all with wisdom, because that's really what we needed, okay, what I needed. I needed somebody with wisdom. I had all the energy, but I didn't want to make mistakes. And so John was that person. And I called him up and said, John, we want to start the greatest graduate program in theoretical physics in the world. Would you like to be the director? And basically, John said, when do I start? from the beginning, there wasn't really any discussion about the conditions or anything like that. John just got it immediately, was excited about the possibility, even though he realized nothing was in place. Everything had to be done. And I think probably 4 weeks after that phone call, or 6 weeks after that phone call, we launched the website and started taking applications. And John had to manage this whole process while doing his normal full-time job as professor at McMaster, and then president in waiting for the McMaster Faculty Association. So all this went very quickly, and I think we've been just thrilled to see John build the program, recruit an amazing set of tutors, recruit with me, recruit the lecturers at the beginning, who set the bar very high, and then subsequent rounds of lecturers, and recruit the examiners. I believe some of them are here. Where are they? Up there at the back. They're examining me right now. How am I doing? An amazing set of examiners, and then above all, of course, the students. And I think many of you will have been emailed or phoned by John, and he's tried to persuade you to come to Perimeter, and John has been incredibly hands-on with the recruitment, and that's been a huge part of the success of the program and the growth of its reputation. So I want to give a special award to John, which is waiting under that. But just before I do, in ending, I want to give a very warm welcome to Jamie Forrest, who, to try to emulate his bad jokes, has got some big shoes to fill, but I'm sure he's going to fill them with big feats. So let me now just give the award to John. And maybe let me explain. This is the first ever honorary Psi degree.
Okay. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Neil. Family and friends, colleagues, and members of the Psi team, and graduating Psions. Well, I guess Neil's been in my office, and he's seen that one of the things that I really treasure are photographs of the people that I've worked with. And I have one from 1995 from the Institute for Materials Research, and I have one from 2005 from the Physics Department at McMaster, and this beautiful certificate and photographs, I will have an honored place by those. So it was a great day when Neil approached me and made me an offer, which I couldn't refuse, to build this program from the ground up, a process which made use of everything I had learned in my 30 years as a physics professor and as a university administrator. It's been a pleasure working with Neil, who has always been extremely supportive of Psi and of all the student programs at Perimeter. This is my fifth Psi graduation, and all of them have been memorable. Psi, as you will have heard many times by the end of the day, is a very intense experience. Students live in close quarters in a shared residence and spend hundreds of hours together in the time room, in the Psi workroom, and the Psi PI library and bistro, studying, doing homework and research, and writing essays, preparing presentations, talking and playing. The program was designed to encourage cooperation rather than competition. We ask the students to teach and learn from each other and not to chase grades. In fact, we don't give grades for the courses. Instead, we make sure that each student has done what is required to pass, and we check that they have learned and understood the basic content of each course. Psi is a bit of a magical realm. And graduating is a bit like emerging from the rabbit hole into the real world again. Now our Psions, who converged here less than a year ago, will disperse once again to the many corners of the earth where physics is done, taking with them strong friendships and shared memories and a lot more physics knowledge and understanding than they came with, along with our hope and best wishes. It's been a particular pleasure for me to work with a very excellent Psi team. I was delighted by the choice of my successor, Jamie Forrest, who played such a key role in the creation of Psi. Jamie started several months ago and has worked patiently and respectfully with me while I tried to pass on everything that we had learned. Soon, he'll be on his own, and will put his own stamp on Psi. I've enjoyed working with a very excellent group of Psi fellows, Tibra, Dennis, Anna, Dan, David, and Aggie, who are all P PhD-level physicists who were selected because of their talent and enthusiasm for teaching. By now, these fellows are also extremely experienced. They spend more time than anyone with the Sci students. In fact, they're the glue that holds the Sci program together. In addition to the fellows, Sci is fortunate that so many of the perimeter faculty are talented teachers who take a great interest in the program. Sci has also benefited from many distinguished external lecturers and from a dedicated group of external examiners, two of whom, Rob Lee and George Minnick, are here today at the back. Sci has been blessed with a series of excellent academic program assistants. Currently, Diana Goncalves, who is actually organizing this ceremony. She's the one with a little headset. Many other perimeter staff have contributed to Sci in essential ways, particularly the Bistro staff and the AV team. Finally, it's been a particular pleasure working with Sci Academic Program Coordinator Debbie Gunther, who has been central to Sci and all of Perimeter's programs involving students. Debbie and I started out together 5.5 years ago, and although Debbie had been at PI much longer than that, it didn't take long before we learned that working with students was Debbie's forte. It was her perfect role. For me as director, Debbie played a crucial role as someone who had the complete trust of the students and for whom the students' interests were paramount. Her advice and support were crucial both for getting things done and on occasion for helping navigate through difficult situations. For this, I'm extremely grateful. So it's been great working for Sci for the past 5.5 years, and it's great that this year's class has done so well. With students and staff like this, it's clear that the Sci program has a long, bright future ahead of it. Thanks to all of you for making it work.
Okay, in keeping with our theme of youth and energy, I'm very pleased to be able to introduce our keynote speaker for today's celebration. Celebration, I'll try one more time. Esmina Avranataki is a brand new faculty member here at Perimeter. She comes after a PhD at Stanford University and postdoctoral work at the Stanford Institute for Theoretical Physics. Mina works on non-traditional ways to study particle physics, being able to find ways to answer the billion-dollar questions without building a billion-dollar accelerator, because we can't get away with that too many times. She brings youth, energy, fresh ideas, and a seemingly endless supply of energy to PI. Please join me in welcoming Mina.
Wow, that was a great introduction. Thank you so much. So, I have to say, hello, my very long name can be abbreviated. I'm Mina, my name is Mina. You have been here in PI more than I have. I just arrived here in March. And when Neil asked me to give this talk, I was like, okay, first of all, I barely know you guys, so you cannot connect to me. The other thing, what can I say to you? So I started putting together a talk of slides, describing experiments, particles, theories here and there. So I go back to Neil. Neil sees it and he goes, this is fantastic. You have some fantastic material here, but you need to lighten it up. So if anyone knows Neil, it means he really hated it. So I completely changed it and I decided to give you a bit of an insight about how I approach research. Hopefully you will find it useful because right now you're ending your studying and you're starting your career as a researcher. So the questions that you see up on the slide is a question that I ask myself all the time. I ask it when I start a project, when I'm in the middle of a project, even when I'm ending a project. And sometimes that means the answer that I will get if I don't like it, that means that months of work can go back in the trash bin. So, but before I go deeper into this, let's start from the basics and ask the questions, why are we doing this? And the answer is because we are fascinated by the universe. We are fascinated, some of us are fascinated by how big it is, by the galaxies, the stars. Others are fascinated by gravity and how masses can bend space and time. Others are go to even smaller scales, are fascinated by atoms, nuclei, and then when you reach that small scale, you go to quantum mechanics, and then you really lose the sense of determinism that we're used to in our everyday experience. So the question is now, what do we know about the universe? And what we know about the universe can be described in these two equations. This is what we call the standard model of physics. The first one describes the three interactions. So the first term up there, the first line, is the strong interaction that binds nuclei together, the weak interaction that causes radiation, and the electromagnetic interaction that you know as light. Second term, this psi, this Greek letter psi, are the fermions, the three families of quarks and leptons. And the last one, this phi particle, is the Higgs that we just recently discovered. The last equation is Einstein's equation that describes gravity as we know it. But this is all great, and in fact, even though we know that these are the equations that describe the universe, we don't really understand them very well. So a lot of work is going to understand these equations further. Even so, the bottom line is, they only describe 5% of the known world. So we have to go beyond the standard model. And if you look at it closely now, you find, first of all, the big question is, what is dark matter? Dark matter is something that does not interact with light, behaves like matter, and it's 25% of the cosmos. The rest 70% is this very obscure thing called dark energy. Some people call it the cosmological constant. And it's 70%. In the theory of gravity, it's that Greek letter lambda. And it's some weird energy that doesn't get diluted even as the universe expands. Just stays completely constant. And there are other open questions. You can ask questions, why is the Higgs so light? Why isn't the Higgs as heavy as the Planck scale? How do fermions get their masses, and why do they have leptons or quarks are so dispersed? There's such disparity in the ray. Why is the top quark so heavy, and why is the electron so light? And where do the neutrino masses come? So the question is, how will we know? And in physics, the only answer about how will we know is with experiments. Everyone knows the Large Hadron Collider, because you've heard it in the news. It discovered recently the Higgs, so it completed our picture of the standard model. There is the Planck satellite that is up in space, looking at our universe when it was much, much younger than it is now, trying to uncover its mysteries. And recently, there's another experiment that I just saw 2 days ago that started taking data that promises to discover, to be the first experiment ever to detect gravitational waves, the ripples of space in space-time that Einstein's theory predicts that we haven't really seen yet. So in physics, theory and experiment go hand in hand. And this is something that I learned very well from my advisor, who, as I was through my PhD advisor, he kept saying that the reason we are doing this, the reason we are always doing theory and experiment together, the reason we are doing physics, is because we are in the truth business. And so we want to know what is the truth about about nature. The way we do this is, first of all, we have ideas. We make sure they are logically consistent by making sure the math is correct. And then, once we have a theory that we can put down in the mathematical language, we ask, how can we discover? So we ask, what predictions does it make? And then we see how can we see if some of these ideas are realized in the real world, and that's why we do experiments. So we do theoretical physics, trying to bridge between what is real in the mathematical world and what is realized in nature. And many of us can move from being very mathematical to being very pragmatic to even doing experiments. So this is great, but can you please go to the next slide now? I don't have a clicker. So this is all great about the truth business, but there is never, we need to remember, because we keep doing theory, that experiments can be really cool. So this is an experiment that's been done now at Stanford. Probably many of you don't know it. So they have a 10-meter tower where they launch atoms up and they wait and they come back down. They launch them up and they see them drop. While they do that, they shine light on the atoms and they make each individual's atom's wave function travel faster than the other. So you take an atom and you split its wave function in a way that they travel at different velocities. So as they go up, one part of the wave function goes further up than the other. And at the top of the interferometer, they measure and they find that they're separated by 4 centimeters. But does this mean, imagine that you were doing experiments with a solar system, quantum experiments, and you were putting it in a superposition of states that was solar system in one side of the galaxy and solar system in the other side of the galaxy. So this is like a macroscopic Schrödinger's cat that's happening right now. This is all very fascinating, and this is technology that wasn't available 10 years ago. So, and please go to the next slide. So this new technology can also help us learn a lot about our theories, test our theories and find out which ones are realized in nature. So the first experiment that they plan to do in this with this interferometer is repeat Galileo's experiment. Take two different masses and see the rate, compare the rate at which they drop and the gravitational field of the Earth. So they take two isotopes, so they launch them together, and they see the measure, again, the effect of gravity on them. If they drop at the same rate, then the theory of gravity is, the theory of Einstein is confirmed. And this is a test of what is known as the equivalence principle. With these are very sensitive. So you can also detect, again, gravitational waves. You can detect new forces at short distances. You can test the equality between the charge of the electron to the charge of the proton down to 30 decimals, which is something unprecedented. There are other technologies out there too. So the technology that you use in the MRI machine can also use to detect dark matter or new particles that mediate forces. And this is part of things that people have been doing for 10 years now, and there's new developments in the field. Atomic clocks. Atomic clocks now are so sensitive that we define the second as, okay, I've memorized this. Let's see if I can get it right. 9,192,631,770 periods of radiation that corresponds to the transition of the hyperfine transition of the cesium atom. So by doing this, you can see if, for example, the mass of the electron or the electromagnetic interaction strength changes with time. And these clocks can also, this way, by comparing, see if you can, given that you can observe such small variations in the atomic levels, you can use it to detect even dark matter, the influence of dark matter in this atomic clock. Next slide, please. All these experiments are very different from colliders. So these experiments expand our reach in length scale tremendously. So in physics, we consider things that are as big as the universe, the Hubble scale, or as small as the Planck scale. This is usually the length scales that we work with. These are roughly 50 orders of magnitude in length, very vast space. The standard model occupies only 5 orders of magnitude of that. There is a special spot where the neutrino masses come in and where dark energy sits. And this is, especially for dark energy, this is a very intriguing scale. And if you look up there, the Large Hadron Collider, which is so huge, actually probes only a tiny fraction of that. Very important fraction, but it's still very small. So we see that there is a vast range of possibilities. And the question is, when you do research, right, how do you navigate yourself? How do you choose what to work on? So I would like to end here with a few tips. The first thing is think big. Always think about how what you're doing helps us understand better the universe in a fundamental way. The second thing is be critical. Be critical of the ideas that you hear from the senior people, even your advisor, even from famous people, because everyone can be wrong. But at the same time, you have to be at the same degree as critical to them as you have to be as critical to yourself as you are to them. Being critical to others is easy, but being critical to yourself is much tougher to do. This is what will keep you from making mistakes. This is what will keep you from going crazy. and hopefully will get you will help you have good ideas. And finally, the most important thing is to be happy. Because in reality, the reason that we're doing, why we're doing what we're doing is because we love doing physics. So I want to end here. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mina. I think that the last thing, be happy, that's just absolutely great advice. I mean, I always say that to my students. It always has to be fun. You have to go every day, it has to be fun. Some days are less fun than others, but it always has to be fun. And so now we're going to start with the presentation of the certificates. Tibra and Dan, two of the fellows, are going to read out the names, and hopefully we've got this all worked out. How about Tibra, Dan?
First graduate is Emily Adlam. Emily came to us from New Zealand after studying at the University of Oxford. She wrote an essay entitled Compressible Ontological Models under the supervision of Robert Speckens. And in her spare time, she's written 8 novels. Nima Afkami Jetty. came to us from Iran and Canada after studying at York University. His essay was entitled Soft Graviton Theorem in Arbitrary Dimensions and was written under the supervision of Freddy Gachaza. And after high school, he didn't always know he wanted to do physics and became a mechanic. Seth Kiranchi Asante came to PSI from Ghana after studying at Ames, Ghana. His essay was entitled Quantum Field Theory on Null Lines and was supervised by Bianca Dietrich. And Seth cannot fully open or stretch his hands. Amro Babo came to SAI from Sudan after studying at ICTP Trieste. Amro's essay was entitled Dark Matter and New Light Forces, written under the supervision of Philip Schuster. And many students get jet lagged when they first arrive at SAI. Amro came up with a unique strategy to deal with this, as he still lives in the Sudanese time zone. Chenfeng Bao came to SAI from China after studying at the University of Hong Kong. Chenfeng wrote an essay titled Exact Construction of Conformal Field Theory from the Interface of Symmetry-Protected Topological Phases with Zhencheng Gu. And Chenfeng turned an English textbook article into a rap and mixed it with Erhu. Jacob Barnett came to SAI from the United States after studying at the Indiana University and Purdue University. Jake wrote an essay under the supervision of Neil Turok entitled A Fresh Look at the Quantum World with Planck's Constant Going to Zero. Jake really, really, really likes Diet Coke. Jacob Kale Bridgman. Jacob came to SAI from Australia after studying at the University of Sydney. Jacob's essay was entitled Effective Edge States of Symmetry-Protected Topological Systems and was written under the supervision of Luis Santos. Jacob is a diving TA. Anthony Chen came to SAI from Taiwan and Canada. She previously studied at the University of British Columbia. Anthony's essay was entitled Directional Dependence of Phase Transition Splitting by Uniaxial Strain, a New Test to Determine Strontium Ruthenate Superconducting States, written under the supervision of Xiaogang Wen. Anthony likes poppy flowers, baby bunnies, and bubble tea. Coronado, came to Psi from Peru after studying at the Universidad Nacional de Ingeniería. Frank's essay was entitled Holographic Entanglement Entropy in the Presence of Wilson Loops, written under the supervision of Rob Myers. And Frank enjoys rice. Jeffrey Epstein came to Psi from the United States after studying at Harvard. Jeffrey's essay was entitled Stabilizer, Quantum Mechanics, and Magic State Distillation, written under the supervision of Daniel Gottesman. And I'm sure we'd all love to see a recording of the musical he wrote and directed about butter. Ilya Esterlis came to Psi from the United States after studying at the University of California, Berkeley. Ilya's essay was entitled A New Constraint Algebra for Three-Dimensional Riemannian Loop Quantum Gravity, written under the supervision of Bianca Dietrich. And Ilya loves to play the guitar. Kieran Finn came to Psi from the United Kingdom after studying at the University of Oxford. Kieran's essay was The Cosmology of the Weyl Invariant Standard Model, written under the supervision of Latham Boyle. And Kieran once spent 45 hours on a bus. Lucia Gomez Cordova came to Psi from Mexico after studying at the Universidad de Guanajuato. Lucia wrote an essay entitled Beyond MHV Amplitudes Using the OPE Approach for Wilson Loops under the supervision of Pedro Vieira. And Lucia loves dancing. Wenwei Ho came to Psi from Singapore after studying at Princeton. Wenwei wrote an essay entitled Entanglement Spectrum of a Non-Chiral Topological Phase under the supervision of Guifre Vidal. And Wenwei is a certified safari guide.
Our Our next student is Martin Hood. Martin is from Canada, and he comes to us from McGill University. Martin wrote an essay on a tight binding model for UPT3 under the guidance of John Berlinski. Martin really likes hip hop dancing. Our next student is Nafis Ishtiak. He comes from Bangladesh after studying at the University of Dhaka, and he wrote an essay on rigid supersymmetry on Riemannian manifolds, review and examples under the guidance of Jaume Gomes. Nafis really hates tomatoes. Next is Mikola Mursky, and he comes to us from the United States of America, and he studied at the University of Michigan. Mikola wrote an essay titled, Do We Live in a Bianchi 6 Universe Under the Guidance of Flavio Mercati? Mikola is completely unable to brush his teeth with his left hand. So our next student is Nicholas Pumata. And he comes from the United States of America, and he studied at Harvard. Nicholas wrote an essay titled Vertex Operators and Simple Expectation Values in the Q-Deformed Virasoro Algebra under the guidance of Davide Gaiotto. And those of us who know Nicholas are not surprised that he has choreographed math puns. So our next student is Aruna Rajagopal. She is from India, and she studied at IIT Madras before coming here. Aruna wrote an essay on ADS black holes as van der Waals fluids under the supervision of Robert Mann and David Kobizniak. On her spare time, Aruna draws comic strips and writes physics-related poetry. Our next student is Andri Niena Narendra Rasuanevo, and he comes to us from Madagascar, and he studied at Ames, South Africa before coming here. Andri wrote an essay on the scattering amplitudes and the amplituhedron under the supervision of Freddy Cachazzo. And Andri really knows how to break dance, as we saw last night. Next up is Monica Tatiana Rincon Ramirez. She comes to us from Colombia, and she studied at the Universidad Nacional de Colombia before coming here. Monica wrote an essay on the relational program ideas that led to shape dynamics under the supervision of Flavio Mercati. And apparently Monica always forgot something in her supervisor's office. Next student is Brody Roberts, and he is from Canada, and he studied at the University of Victoria before coming here. Brody wrote an essay entitled ADS Stability and the FPUT Paradox, a review under the supervision of Nayesh Ashfordi. And Brody's distinction is that simulations have shown that if there is a zombie apocalypse, Brody will be the last person standing. Our next student is Andres Felipe Schliff Carvajal. He is from Colombia, and he studied at the Universidad de los Andes before coming here. And he wrote an essay entitled Enhancement of Superconducting Fluctuation in Non-Fermi Liquid Metals under the Supervision of Sang-Sek Lee. And those of us who know Andres will agree that he is basically a teddy bear with tattoos. Our next student is Neha Wadia from India. She studied at Amherst College before coming here. Neha wrote an essay on adventures in two-dimensional Heisenberg spin systems in the context of NMR quantum information processing under the supervision of David Corey. And during this year at PSI, Neha learned how to curse. So our next student is Jason Wien, and he comes to us from the United States of America, and he went to Harvard before coming here. Jason wrote an essay titled A Holographic Approach to Space-Time Entanglement under the supervision of Rob Myers. And Jason spends 50% of his time climbing and the other 50% thinking about climbing. Also graduating in absentia are Emin Gay, who is from Austria, and he went to University of Cambridge before coming to PSI. And Emin wrote an essay titled Spatial Search by Continuous Time Quantum Walks under the supervision of Andrew Childs. Emin has planned that if physics doesn't work out, then he will become a skiing instructor. And lastly, but not least, we have Jennifer Roloff, and she comes to us from the United States of America, and she went to University of Michigan before coming to PSI. Jennifer wrote an essay on high-spin actions in ADS simplified with vector superspace under the supervisions of Philip Schuster and Natalia Toro. And Jennifer is an expert log picker.
Okay, so again, it's my great privilege to introduce the next main act in this graduation. Shad is with us, but don't get up yet. I went to Calgary to participate in something that the Walrus magazine organized. And it was one of these sort of crazy events where you had 5 minutes, was it 5 or 4 minutes? 5 minutes, I think, to speak about something. And a lot of the talks were honestly a bit mediocre, but one of them just completely blew me away. And that stuck with me. And when it came to this very special PSI graduation, which is our farewell to John Berlinski, we really wanted to make it a special event, unusual event. And fortunately, about a month ago or 6 weeks ago, Shad came and performed in Waterloo. And he dropped by Perimeter and I showed him around. And he invited me and my daughter to his performance in the Starlight Lounge. And that was even more spectacular. So there's nothing much I can say about Shad. You know, there's some things you just really can't put into words. And he does it so much better than any of us would anyway. But it's funny that in this graduation, inviting him resonates in so many ways with what people have said, with what Mina said, with what Jamie said. Physics isn't just about all the hard, the pain of difficult calculations and staring at computers all day. You know, we do it because we love nature and we think we're gaining insights into the universe. And that always feels like an incredible privilege to be playing in this field which has uncovered such amazing truths behind reality. And so the reason we do physics is because we're human beings, after all. And for all the pain and suffering that goes with the physics, we human beings like to have fun. And one of the quotes I love the most from Shad, which I read in an article about him in the Globe and Mail, they noticed that there's quite a lot of depth in his words. There's always some deep ideas and actually ideas which resonate very much with our purpose. But the one thing he said is that I always are on the side of having fun. And so rather than getting too heavy, you know, let's have a bit of fun. And if in doubt, if things aren't going well, then let's just have fun. And I think that's what today is all about. Today, you know, we've all erred, right? Every single PSI student, Jacob told me, one thing I've learned is that almost everything I do is wrong. In an honest moment. And I said, almost? You're really doing great if it's only almost. So that's the way most of us feel all the time. But Shad can tell us about having fun. So let's welcome Shad.
Yeah, thank you for that very gracious introduction. It's a real honor to be with you guys today. Congratulations. This is a bit outside of the box for me. I'm a rapper, I'm a hip-hop artist, so To be invited to do a commission piece for you guys that relates somewhat to this event was a very fun project to take on and a real honor. So I decided to call this The Nature of Light. The Nature of Light. I asked Maxwell, the equation is right, confirmed observing the behavior of those with patience in life, of minds that labor in love, even till late in the night, as inspiration always awakens like the day when it strikes, with white-hot waves of a bright trailblazing insight, delighting in debating, though in every case, nature is right. The nature of right and the nature of truth is illumination. It's life-giving. It's like, well, the nature of light. Well, congrats, class. As I understand it, you passed math. Now you can subtract, add, graph stats, and even cheat at blackjack. Or you can produce data and amass facts, measure the energies in a vacuum or in a half glass, negative or positive, concrete or abstract, using all the schooling and tools and books in your backpack for the task at hand. And the task is grand. From the smallest scale to mapping the vast expanse, and you have the chance to glimpse the magic hands, the forces, the source of this avalanche of happenstance, and connect the lines. The ones not yet defined, like Einstein when he first spoke of space expressed in time. I was joking about blackjack, by the way, and the X and Ys. You're the best. You'd be hard-pressed to find more impressive minds with more depth to absorb, reflect, and shine. The question's just, who among you is next in line to provide answers and defy the odds by the slightest chances, shift the paradigm all while complying to the highest standards to search? And I don't mean by that sight from those guys at Stanford. By the lights that... By the lights that guide your minds, that's how science advances. Make your light the clearest, with the purest intentions, courage and strength and perseverance to search and to sense and to further inventions, to flourish in a world with a curious penchant, a worrisome tendency to hurry to secure some attention, to seek personal fame first and personal gain, it's the same in entertainment, such work is in vain. Be encouraged to work together with purpose and service for change, to build the pillars and the furniture and the terms to explain the ways nature is structured, with strong frameworks to sustain, a place to gain further knowledge of the universe through the universe in your brains. When I do a verse, it's to help me stay in my right mind and to gain sight. As most stumble through the night blind, I'm seeing signs, more lights shining from bright minds in their life's prime. This feels like once in a lifetime, like maybe we could do better than building pipelines or fighting over conflict diamonds and wolframite mines. And we can do more than just retweet or even write rhymes. We can write history. Right now is the right time. Some might think that just sounds like some sound bites, some not so sound advice that only kind of sounds nice. Maybe I'm totally naive, but I know the seeds of hope are sown and then they grow to be, well, who knows, the newest idea, the oldest tree, with leaves that grow to reach deep as the roots in their holes beneath. So go and seek beyond the solar and your souls with the goal of peace, piecing together knowledge in a mind that's bold and free. And if you don't succeed, no woe is me. Honor the process of progress, and that project is a goal achieved. You have the same nature as light to glow and to lead. And as you seek to know, make our knowledge of the whole complete. Thank you.
Okay, so it is the tradition at PSY to have valedictorians speak, and the valedictorians are chosen by their classmates. So this year's valedictorians are Nima Afkami Jetty and Neha Wadia. Nima and his family immigrated to Canada when he was 14, and after finishing high school and working for a few years as an auto mechanic, as we learned, he attended York University in Toronto, where he obtained an honors bachelor's degree in physics and astronomy before coming to PSY. Neha grew up in India, in the city of Mumbai, and she attended Amherst College in Amherst, Massachusetts, in the United States, where she earned a Bachelor of Arts degree in physics and then came to PSY. I'd like to call on Nima and Neha to come forward to present their valedictory address.
Congratulations, everyone. We made it. Thank you for inviting Nima and me to speak to you today. So I begin with a confession. I tried very, very hard several days to write a funny speech because I had promised laughs and jokes, but I had to put a stop to that when I realized that I'm never funny except by accident and or by existence. So I hope you'll forgive me for breaking my promise to keep you in splits, and allow me to share a thought that I had while I was thinking about what to say. So when I reflect on the last 10 months, it occurs to me that even though we're graduating with degrees in physics today, and I don't feel like a master, I don't know about any of you, the last 10 months have really been for me about people. This program is perhaps unique in the world in that it brings not that big a number of us together from all over the globe, and we exist in a very condensed spatial and temporal sort of system. And because of the nature of the program, we eat together and we sleep together and we, we sleep in the same region. And we work together, and we went to hockey games together, we went tobogganing together. I'm told that at one time, this was a time I didn't go, Monica tried to get 10 people into a sled, and that was a problem. I would have loved to have seen that. You made it? But I, okay. Someone should have taken some pictures that day. We, you know, have had snow fights. We've been on holidays. There were two beautiful trips to cottages in Quebec and a little bit further north in Ontario. And there were some climbing trips. And, you know, we party and we fight and we dislike each other and we love each other. And just for the last 10 months, our whole worlds have been telescoped and distilled down to just 30 people. And I have to say, for me, it's been a tremendous experience of human discovery, even though it sounds quite traumatic. I'm well aware that not all of us were always happy with the program, but I think the only thing I can say that unifies all our experiences is that they were more varied than any of us could possibly have imagined at the beginning of the year. But here's the thing. My mom likes to say that you can count the dearest friends in your life on the fingers of one hand. And I hope I speak for everyone when I say that we've all added at least one to that count this year. And I think that that's something to celebrate. So long after I have forgotten every little bit of physics that I pretended I learned here, I will remember some wonderful conversations about gender and crime with Aisha and Kala and Nico. I'll remember my frustrated attempts to convince Nima that Shakespeare was, in fact, a great playwright. We will not discuss this again. I will remember countless weekend evenings spent with my flatmates cooking, baking, watching Project Runway. I love clothes, I'm sorry. I will remember singing Waltzing Matilda, which is, I mean, it's cute, but it's dumb, and we just sang it so many times, and I had a good time, it was weird. I'll remember, I took my first vodka shot on Thursday. I will remember that. And I will remember late night cooking baking projects, late night crepe making projects. I will remember hours and hours worth of laughter, most of it hysterical. When I really need to smile, I will remember Yemen's extraordinarily loud footsteps. I'll remember remember Nico's bizarre posture. Well, he's okay now, but I mean, you should see him when he's working. And the fact that he did all his tutorials in the margins of the assignment sheet. And I think at times couldn't read what he did anymore. I will remember Frank sprinting into the bistro 30 seconds before every meal closed. I'll remember Nafis carrying his backpack everywhere as though it was his baby. I will remember little Jacob ordering bacon with every single meal and eating 5 cookies a day, or what was it, 4 or something like that? Oh my goodness, okay. I'll remember watching Mikala drink wine from a coffee cup, and I'll leave it to you to figure out why he was doing that. I mean, the lid was on and everything. It looked like coffee. I'll remember watching the Soccer World Cup together. I'll remember the goose that wanted to get into the Sirem for a couple weeks. And it was, we gave it a name, right? Bethany. I'll remember our class's strange obsession with cats and cat noises. You know who you are. And you too. And many, many other wonderful things. The last thing I'd like to say is that despite the fact that I subscribe to the idea of a life of the mind, I don't think anyone will ever be able to convince me that any physics that anyone can do is more important than our relationships with each other and shared experiences. And I consider it a great privilege to have spent the last 10 months learning from you guys and with you guys and off you guys. And I hope we have all grown together sideways, thanks to the bistros, and also in our hearts as human beings. And as we scatter all over the world tomorrow and during the week, I'd like to just take this moment to invite you all to treasure each other like I have treasured some of you. Congratulations and thank you.
Okay, I've been told not to move, so if I move, yell at me. You know, as funny, this morning people see me, they're like, oh, you're gonna be funny. It's like, for some reason you guys got the idea that I was the funny one this year. But we all knew why you picked me. So that being said, I'm not very good at formal talks. That doesn't mean I'm very good at informal talks either. So I'll give this a go. It'll be tough to emulate. She's charming. Okay, so before we decided to write down what we were going to say, we decided to have a meeting with the Psi students to see what we wanted to say, because after all, this is supposed to represent all of us. So one thing that was clear was that people wanted to portray that this year wasn't all just smooth sailings and roses. There was a lot of pressure, many sleepless nights, sleep-deprived days, hard work, and occasionally some tears. Well, okay, a lot of tears, mostly mine. So the question, the natural question is, why did we do it? What in the world would possess someone to come to sunny Waterloo, spend silly number of hours every day playing with squiggles on a piece of paper or on a chalkboard? So naturally I asked a bunch of my fellow students, why did you do it? I see you in the library every day spending ridiculous hours working. What was it? And answers varied from, I don't know, well, it was a great opportunity. I really enjoyed it. There was nothing else that I'd rather be doing, and it was a broad spectrum of answers. So I'll tell you a bit about my experience and what I think that it was that kept me going and working. Although at the time we were doing it, I hadn't given it a second thought. It's just what we did. We worked. That's what we did. So You see, I had been lucky that the Psi program was my first exposure to theoretical physics. I used to be an experimentalist. Sorry. Sorry. It's the Canadian in me. Let me tell you the first core course in physics that we had at Psi program was the relativity course taught by Neil Torok. And let me tell you how he started the course. He began looking very excited, and I quote, this is what he said. "This is the course I enjoy teaching the most. It's the most spectacular subject in physics, if not all of science. It really is a miraculous sequence of ideas which are incredibly powerful, providing insights into the nature of reality." And he was right. It was very exciting, at least for me. It was very exciting, learning about this and many other subjects. But it wasn't even more exciting than that. Because, I mean, to paraphrase Carl Sagan, it only meant that there was even more incredible truths just waiting to be known. See, I think that it was the sense of excitement that I felt when I started learning these things that it gave me a sense of joy that kept me going. Otherwise, we know we worked very hard, long hours. We had to have something. And for me, I think it was the excitement. And I think for some of the other students, for many of us, it was also the same thing because they took extra steps in working. I mean, you know, there was Ilya's topology lectures, there was our organized CFD group meetings, these weren't things that were forced by the program, these were things that people took incentive and did extra work, even though we already had so much work to do. There was the seminars organized by Nico, there was even our lunch and dinner conversations. At one point, I think there was a rule where you're not allowed to talk about physics during dinner, but they had a tough time upholding that. So, you know, I'm very grateful to PI for providing us with this wonderful gift. You see, it was an excellent environment. Living with 30 other students from all corners of the earth, with similar interests and excited by similar things. Not in competition, but in collaboration. We lived together for 10 months as a family. We played together, we ate together, we learned together. And, you know, I would like to express my gratitude towards the Perimeter community and the Psi students for providing such a wonderful environment during our time here. I would also like to thank all of our families for their love and support, whether they're here tonight or supporting us from all the way across the world. I would like to thank all of our teachers, our supervisors, and Psi fellows for their teachings and their guidance throughout this year. I would also like to thank Debbie and Diana for all their hard work and putting up with our nonstop shenanigans the whole year. I would like to thank John Belinsky, the director of the program, and everyone else involved, whether visible to us or working behind the scenes in making this year possible. I want to congratulate all of us, and I mean all of us. You know what I'm talking about. For making it through this year. It wasn't very easy, but we did it. And I'd just like to finish by saying that I hope that this newfound sense of excitement, it stays with us for the rest of our lives, pushing us towards discovering new and exciting truths about the nature of reality so that we may better understand our universe and our place in it. Thank you.
Thank you, Nima and Neha, for those words describing your year. I think was it really that hard? It was really make it sound hard. Well, at least you're young. If you were older, you'd never be able to pull it off. I'd like to invite everybody that's here to join the students for a reception with light refreshments. That's right outside the atrium immediately following the ceremony. But first we do that, there's a number of people that I really feel we have to thank. Thank you, Debbie and Diana, for all the work you both did putting this together. Stand up. Come on. Oh. Diana had the headsets on, so you can recognize her there. And not only that, but everybody, so many people worked. I mean, Debbie and I spent the week in meetings, you know, pulling this all together, and it so far seems to have gone pretty well. So I'd like to thank everybody who contributed and made this, not only this day, but this year, the success that it was. Thank you, Shad, for your inspirational performance. It was really excellent. Thank you. And really, you know, most importantly, thank you to the students. Of course, none of this would be possible without you. Good luck in whatever adventures you take on in the future. And you're always welcome to come back and see us. Thank you.